The following sermon was recorded at Pipe Creek Community Church in Pipe Creek, Texas. For more information, visit our website at pipecreekcc.com. May God bless you as you study His Word.
This morning's sermon text is found in the 13th chapter of Hebrews. We're going to look at verses 20 and 21 of Hebrews chapter 13. As we meditate on the meaning and the power the resurrection of our Lord. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, the resurrection of your Son, Jesus, your raising him from the dead proves that he is indeed worthy, that he is greater than everything, and nothing else even comes close. The resurrection changes everything. It is a stubborn fact constantly confronting us. What are we going to do with Jesus? One thing is for sure, indifference is not an option. Because he is risen from the dead. He has conquered death. He has overcome the world. Just as he said he would. We rejoice in it. We believe it. Believing it is not enough. It must change us. I pray that you would, by your power and for your glory, do that work in our hearts this morning. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So this letter of Hebrews is totally about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. He is the fulfillment of all the purposes of God. He is the realization of all the promises of God. He is the reality of the presence of God. He is the radiance of the glory of God. Jesus in Hebrews is the reason for creation. He is the power behind creation. He is the one holding this groaning creation together. And he is the ultimate answer to its fall. Jesus in Hebrews is the conclusive end and the highest goal. He is the means and the message. He is the mediator, the only mediator between God and man. Only in Jesus Christ will our final breath give way to God's flawless presence. Only in Christ will we be able to step through the last day of history and into the first day of forever. Hebrews proves Jesus is the epitome, that he is preeminent, that he is indeed greater than all else and worthy of all praise. And as the writer of Hebrews in chapter 13 concludes his letter, he closes with a benediction, blessing, a good word, a blessing on his readers, a pronouncement of God's blessing. And he writes in verse 20 and 21, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." This is God's word. It's interesting that in a book about the greatness of Jesus, that there's no mention of the resurrection of Jesus until verse 20. Of the final chapter. The writer of Hebrews decides to spend much more time emphasizing our Lord's ascension and exaltation. The fact that He is on the right, at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning right now. He does this so much so that the resurrection is kind of presupposed. It's a given. That is, until the end, when at last He finally goes to the resurrection. Resurrection is always in Scripture, in the New Testament, always proof of God's power. And it's proof of Christ's worthiness. That He is indeed perfect. That His blood was indeed enough to cover our sins. That it really is finished. So finally here, as He pronounces a blessing, He goes to the resurrection. The letter is filled with exhortation and warning and arguing and appealing these Hebrew Christians, these Jewish Christians, not to give up, not to be tempted to fall away, but to run to Jesus because He is worthy. He is who He says He is. He was raised from the dead. So He pronounces a blessing, the blessing of God on those who have ears to hear. And He goes to the resurrection. He is at rest in the argument He's made. He is, in these last verses, trusting in the sovereignty of God. A God of unlimited power. A God of glorious character. A God who exalts the perfection of His Son by making Him the sole means of relationship with God. He is the object of faith. He is also the object of blessing. Everything God does, He does through Jesus, glorifying the Son, and finally and ultimately raising Him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus is God's gigantic, "I told you so." And so He ends with a blessing, assured of the power of the sovereign God to give ears to hear to those who are truly His. And He pronounces a blessing from God. He points to the resurrection. The resurrection is a kind of divine stress test. It serves as a measure of God's power. You want to know how powerful He is? See Jesus raised from the dead. It also serves as a means by which we can look, believe, and trust that that same God who raised Him from the dead, that same power is working, as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, in us. The power that raised God from the dead is in you this morning if you have received Christ by faith. So my goal this morning in just a few minutes here is that we might not just believe the fact of the resurrection, but that we might understand the meaning of it and that we might live in the power of it. You were meant to live in the power of the resurrection, to know that power that's within you. Notice in verse 20, Jesus was not just raised after He shed His blood. He was raised by the shedding of His blood. In other words, the blood of Jesus was so perfectly righteous and so gloriously perfect in the presence of the Father that that perfect blood raised Him from the dead. That's how He was raised. He was raised by the blood and through the blood. And all that you and I are, and all that you and I have, and all that you and I are given the ability by God's grace to do shines forth from this truth, the truth of the power, perfection of the life of Christ given for us. A life so powerful, it raised Jesus from the dead. It saves us. It sanctifies us. It puts us in the presence of a holy God. So, 2 points. Verse 20, what God has done. Verse 21, what God will do. God has done, what God will do. What is clear, whether in time past or in the future, whether it's about who He is for us or what He is doing in us, clearly it's all about Him. It's all about what He does, not about what we do. It's about what He does in us and through Jesus in us. What He did through the blood and by the blood of His perfect Son. It's all about Him. Verse 20, what God has done. God is called the God of peace. And the Lord Jesus is called the great shepherd of the sheep. The God of peace is a description of God's character. And it also gives us insight into the power, the gracious power at work in Jesus to redeem His own. Peace is not just the absence of difficulty. Peace is actually the idea of wholeness, of being complete, being perfected. It's the idea of integrity. This title for God is not only, this title for God is only in the New Testament. It's nowhere found in the Old Testament. And every time it's found in the New Testament, especially in the benedictions by the Apostle Paul, it is always associated with transformed lives. The God of peace is always associated with the way we live. For example, in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul concludes with, "May the God of peace sanctify you, transform you." Same is true in 2 Corinthians 13. And the Apostle Paul also says it in Philippians 4 when he says, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice." Put it into practice. And the peace of God and the God of peace will be with you. So the transformed life, in other words, is only possible if you and I have peace with God. It is only then that we will be changed. And this is done only through Jesus. In John chapter 10, Jesus is the good shepherd who dies for His sheep. Here, He is the great shepherd who is raised for His sheep. In 1 Peter 5, He is the chief shepherd who is coming again. His death, His resurrection, His coming again. He is our good, great chief shepherd. And all we have is accomplished through Him. In the Old Testament, Yahweh is called the shepherd of His people. Remember, after God brings His people out of Egyptian slavery, God literally is the shepherd of a flock of 2 million people, constantly going astray, turning away from God. So when we are told that Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep, it is the idea that we can be sure that Christ will get us home. How do you know you will get home? How do you know you will make it through the wilderness of this world and into the promised land? How do you know tomorrow morning you'll still believe? Because Jesus will make it so. Because His perfect blood was shed for you. Because you have reconciliation and relationship with the Father. And Jesus is our great shepherd. He will guide us and lead us and protect us and preserve us and feed us with His word. And He will get us home. He will sanctify us. And this He does by His own blood. His own blood has secured the eternal blessing of God. His perfect life earned the blessing of God. The blessing of God is rightfully His. That blessing is given to us. And He gets the curse that our lives deserved. But we have the blessing of God. And it's by the blood of the eternal covenant. Meaning, this eternal being who gives you eternal blessing goes on for eternity. It never ends. It is not only eternal, it is final. It will not be replaced. It will not be canceled. It will not be supplanted by something else. Nothing could be greater. And this He did. All of it He did. He accomplished through His death and resurrection. The blood shed for us was representative of a life so perfectly righteous in fulfilling the law, but also so perfect in its revelation of who God is. Jesus always makes the Father known. He always stands before us and says, "This is who God is." And He does so perfectly. And you can know it's true because He was raised from the dead. His life was a weapon. His life was a weapon God used to destroy sin and death. It's a weapon so powerful death could not keep Him. And that life and that death was for us. Jesus does everything necessary for God to be at peace with us and for us to be at peace with God. His blood washes and cleanses us. His blood raised Him from the dead. His blood guarantees our salvation. His blood has made peace with God. God raised Christ by the blood He shed. And God is reconciled to us through that blood. We forever draw near. From now on, forever and ever, we draw near to a Father without wrath. A holy God who is for you. A throne of grace where you can fall before and you can be honest in repentance about the idols in your heart. That you can know whatever bad things are around me, whatever's going on in my life, it's not God punishing me because Christ already took my punishment. He might be disciplining. Surely He is. He is for your good, though, ultimately. Because of the blood of Christ, the Father's justice and holiness was satisfied. And our heart, sinful hearts, were conquered. And now we are reconciled to God. This is what God has done. This is what God has done through Jesus. Verse 20. Verse 21, what God will do. Recognize. Verse 20 is kind of the subject, and verse 21 is the predicate. Verse 20 is really all about who God is. But as we have seen over and over again in John, it is impossible to separate who God is and what God does. Because he has perfect integrity. Because everything he is, he does. And so in verse 20, we see all that he is and all that he's done for us. This is God's character. And because of Christ, the life of God and the character of God begins to transform us and work in us. Notice, in verse 21, he begins with, he equips us. This word for equip is used in describing soldiers being armed for battle. But it's also used earlier in the Gospels for the disciples when they're mending their nets. It is used for a doctor who resets a broken bone. In other words, this word equip is meant to be the idea of restoration. He restores everything in us that's broken. He mends everything in us that has been torn. He puts us together. He makes us whole and complete. And obviously, the reason you reset a bone is not so that you can continue to sit on the couch for the rest of your life, but so that you can, when healed, get out there and go to work and be active and really live. The same is true of this spiritual restoration through Christ. He equips us. He restores us. He fixes us so we can live for Him. How does He do it? How does He equip us? He equips us by working in us what is pleasing to Him. Whatever is pleasing in His sight, He is working in us. And that is how He equips us. That's what verse 21 is saying. And it's all done, notice, through Jesus Christ. Reconciliation was through Jesus Christ. And now sanctification and the power by which we live is through Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead. He equips us by giving us Himself. He doesn't equip us by giving us equipment to use to work for Him. He equips us by giving Himself to us. And this is the real blessing. This is the blessing that your heart is searching for, is the life of God in you. The delight of God. To be an object of God's pleasure and delight. That's what your heart is longing for. To know that you are blessed by God and kept by Him. To have His face shine upon you. What Moses must have thought when he was instructed to tell Aaron, the high priest, at the end of every tabernacle service, I want you to pronounce this blessing on the people. The Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you. Be gracious to you, lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Imagine Moses, who just not too long ago was on Mount Sinai, and he said, let me see your face, God. And God said, if you see my face, you will die. Yet here, at the end of every tabernacle service, the blessing of God, that we might have His face shine upon us. We're talking about intimacy and relationship. But only at the end of the tabernacle service is blessing pronounced. Only after the offering, only after atonement has been made for sin, pointing to the once and for all, final, ultimate sacrifice, Jesus, who is the new and living way into the Holy of Holies. We can approach with confidence there. So He equips us with Himself. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. God is in you, working for His good pleasure. And we work out that salvation as God is working in us, sanctifying us, empowering us to live it. And He works that in us by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6, God is never pleased apart from faith. Only faith pleases God. Verse 2 of chapter 11, we are commended before God by our faith. So without faith, it's impossible to please Him. By our faith, we are commended by Him. This is what God is working in us. God saves. God works. God takes pleasure in it. One day we will stand before Him commended because of the righteousness of Christ, because of His death and resurrection. God is pleased in doing it this way because it's all done through Jesus. He made it that way so that our whole lives would be about depending upon Jesus, about looking to Jesus. It's how we're saved. It's how we live by faith. It's all about Jesus. And God is pleased to make it like that, to point to His Son constantly. We believe Him. He gives us His Son. And His Son in us empowers faith and keeps us and gets us home. We can't do this on our own. So with the will of God comes the grace of God. And it comes in the life of Christ. And God's going to work His grace through His Son who is in us. A perfect life saved us, works in us, perfects us, transforms us, and does so all for His glory. It's not willpower. It's the death of Christ working outside of us and the life of Christ working inside of us. This is the Christian life. God is not only the object of our faith, He is the blessing. You might think that a benediction, when I was a kid, I thought the benediction was the time in which everybody gathers their stuff together and gets ready to go eat. And actually, the benediction, if you really think about it, should be the moment when your whole life flashes before your eyes. This is what life is about. To have God's face. To have relationship with Him. To have a God who is at peace with you. And to have an eternal, everlasting, satisfying peace within yourself that is the peace of God. That's what you need. This morning, whatever you're dealing with, that's the answer. That's what you need. And that comes through Jesus. The peace we receive is the blessing that we receive when we receive God. And we are utterly satisfied in Him. Because Christ is better. He is better than anything this life can give. And He is better. And you get Him when death takes everything else away. And that's why we worship this morning. And that's why we are here. A dead Christ, a dead God, is a God that you have to do for. A living Christ, a living God, is a God who does for you. Hallelujah. Let's pray. In these last few minutes, Lord, as we continue to consider Your resurrection, meditate on what it means and plead with You to help us live in power, in the power of it. Glorify Yourself. Transform us. Help us to recognize the power and perfection of this blood shed for us. Glorious and perfect. So that we might live for You. That we might be pleasing to you so that we might glorify you. That's what we desire more than anything else. Make it so in the name of Jesus. Amen.